الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا ادخلوا في السلم كافة وعن عبد الله بن مسعود رضي الله عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لن تزول قدم عبد يوم القيامة حتى يسأل عن خمس عن عمره فيما أفناه وعن شبابه فيما أبلاه وعن ماله من أين اكتسبه وفيما أنفقه وماذا عمل فيما علمه أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام صدق الله العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين. Respected ulama-i-kiram, elders, brothers, and young ones in Islam, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Once again, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us the opportunity, the blessing, the ni'mat to witness another Jumu'ah. And the purpose of these Jumu'ahs, the bayans that we sit in, are to improve as individuals from one Jumu'ah to the next Jumu'ah. In fact, from one day to the next day, as human beings, insofar as having recognized our purpose in this world, if we don't see a difference, if we are not better human being the next day, the next week, the next minute, the next second, then we are failing in our objective. Then we are failing in our objective. And that is why the purpose of these talks are to remind us with regards to our objectives and to enable us to achieve that objective by becoming better individuals, better human beings, better believers in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and followers of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala first of all give me the tawfiq and every single one of us and the entire ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to make amal on the beautiful teachings of our deen. The ayat that I recited, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that, O those who have believed, O those who have believed, enter into Islam. O those who have believed, enter into Islam, enter into the submission to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, kaffa, completely, in its entirety. So I'm sure each and every one of us must be thinking that, what does it mean? Those that have believed are being told to enter into Islam. Those that have believed. So if we have to analyze our deen is a very, very beautiful system of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that is holistic. It is not focused on the completion or the carrying out of a few rituals. It is not limited to some outward symbolic actions, na'uzu billah. It is an entire system that ensures the well-being of that person and of society in this world and in the hereafter. So in this context, the ulama have written, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala refers to entering into deen completely, it means that do not selectively choose those aspects of deen that we wish to practice upon. Deen is a holistic system. Deen has branches. The knowledge of deen, the divine knowledge that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed to mankind to follow and to implement in their lives, is of different aspects and different areas of our lives it affects. So the ulama very briefly mention that the first important aspect is our aqaid, our beliefs. The belief in the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the finality of the prophethood of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, recognition of the malaika, the akhirat, the love for the sahaba ikram, all of these form part of our beliefs. And to a large extent, with the fadl of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we are acquainted and we are familiar with what are the correct beliefs. Then we have the aspect of our ibadat, the salah, the five times salah that we perform, upon which great emphasis has been laid in the Quran Sharif and in the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In fact, in the moments that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was passing away, his words were as-salah, as-salah. The salah you must hold on to very fast, very hard. So this is a second aspect, our ibadat. The salah that we perform, the hajj, that it is compulsory at least once in a lifetime, if one can afford it and has the means. the fasting in the month of Ramadan, and all the various other ibadat that we perform. Then there is an aspect of our deen, of this divine knowledge that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with as a system which we are supposed to be following, which is referred to as mu'amalat, our transactions. Our transactions, yes, some of us may find that it is something that is given that much of importance, it forms one of the branches of divine knowledge, of this ilm, of this knowledge and the system of deen that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has presented us with. Just to illustrate to us the importance of this aspect of our transactions, of our livelihood, of the economic side of our lives, the hadith that I quoted in the khutbah, Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu anhu says that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said that a person's feet will not move on the day of Qiyamah. A person's feet will not move on the day of Qiyamah until he has answered 5 questions. So in other words, if we have to sum it up, if we have to try and explain it, it means that before we can take the first step in Akhirat, in terms of fulfilling our objectives in this world, we will have to pass an exam. And that exam will have 5 questions. So what are the questions? The first question is, an umrihi fima afna. What did you do with your life in general? How did you spend the time that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given? And this is another topic in its entirety. But just to pass one comment on this in the form of a hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said that ni'matani maghbunun feehima kathirun minan nas as-sihhatu wal-faragh. There are 2 blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with regards to which people have been duped. They don't understand the value. They've been ripped off with regards to the value of it. They spend it to get things which they do not achieve something in equivalent in return. What are those 2 things? As-sihhatu wal-faragh. Health and time. Health and free time. So let us recognize the value of our time. But nevertheless, the next question, which the hadith narrated by Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu an covers, is that an shababihi fima abla. With regards to your youth, specifically. So one is a general question with regards to life. But for those that are young amongst us, something to ponder and reflect upon, that how much of my life have I dedicated to serving of deen, to implementing and inculcating the teachings of deen and of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam in my life as youth. So this will be the second question. And then the third and the fourth question, which is the focus of today's discussion, an malihi min ayna iktasab, with regards to his wealth, where did you earn it from? How did you earn that wealth? وَفِيمَا أَنْفَقَ. And in what did you spend that wealth? So if we have to analyze this aspect, that 2 out of 5 questions focus on this aspect of mu'amalat, the way we carry out our economic transactions, then it is indeed something that we need to give great concern and ponder about very, very carefully. And then the final question that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions, it is for people like us, people that study the deen. وَمَاذَا عَمِلَ فِيمَا عَلِمَ. And also for every single one of us, to the extent that we acquire the knowledge of deen, what action did you take with regards to the knowledge that you gained? وَمَاذَا عَمِلَ فِيمَا عَلِمَ. What did you put into practice? Was it all theoretical knowledge? Was it all just information that was gathered? So nevertheless, coming back to this aspect of mu'amalat, in another hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that At-tajiru as-saduqul amin ma'an nabiyyin was-siddiqin was-shuhada. Again, highlighting the importance, the status, the significance of a trader, of a businessman, of people engaged in economic activity. That the trader who is truthful, as-saduq, not any ordinary level of truthfulness, he is extremely truthful. At-tajir al-saduq al-ameen. He's extremely trustworthy. What will be his status on the day of Qiyamah? His status will be that he will be together with the prophets, ma'an nabiyyin, was-siddiqeen, and those who have reached the last frontier of the friendship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is his level. Was-siddiqeen, was-shuhada, and the martyrs. So this is the level of a person who engages in economic activity in the manner that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prescribed and outlined. But yet in another hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gives us the other side. The other side of this same person, that at-tujjaru yuhsharuna fujjaran yawm al-qiyamati illa man ittaqa wa barra wa sadaqa aw kama qala alayhi salatu wa salam. That business people, traders, people engaged in economic activity will be raised up on the day of Qiyamah as sinners, unless, except if ittaqa, they display taqwa in their lives. They display taqwa, wabarra, and do good, wasadaq, and they are truthful in their words. So, it then begs the question that if it is such a critical part of our deen, of the system that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us in order to live a smooth life in this world and be successful in the hereafter, then what are the guidelines? What is expected of us as people engaged in economic activity in terms of our mu'amalat? What do Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam want from us? Something that each and every one of us need to ponder and think about. Obviously, there's no time to go into details in the Jummah Bayan, but if we have to break this subject up into two parts broadly, there are two parts to it. One is the aspect of the laws that are applicable to our transactions, and that is something that we can find out and learn from the ulama, what it is permissible to sell, what it is not permissible to sell, how must one buy and sell, you know, when must the thing needs to be in your possession before you sell, it needs to be in existence. All those details we can find out from the ulama. But there is a second aspect, this knowledge or this aspect that we are expected to implement in our lives. There is the second half of it, and that relates to the manner in which we deal. The way that we carry ourselves when we engage in transactions. And we will be astounded to see the emphasis that is placed in the Quran Sharif and in the Hadith with regards to how we behave when we engage in economic activity. The way that we are supposed to carry ourselves. And the first thing, if we have to call it the akhlaq, the etiquettes, the behavioral expectations of us from the Quran and Hadith with regards to when we engage in economic activity, is to adopt a demeanor, to adopt a character of humility, and to shun and avoid pride of all types. To shun and avoid pride. And it is more likely that a person engaged in economic activity, particularly when we may have achieved some level of success, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala may test us with the feeling that, you know, you have achieved something, you are something now. You are something. When we think of that, then let us think of the example of Qarun in the Quran Sharif. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives the example of Qarun. He was also a business person, a wealthy, economically engaged in economic activity. Inna Qarun kana min qawmi Musa fabagha alayhim wa ataynahu min al-kunuz ma inna mafatihahu latanu'u bil usbati ulil quwwa. The wealth that he had, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes it by describing the keys to the treasures. That just the keys used to make young groups of people, young, healthy, fit and healthy people, groups of them, used to make them tired in carrying. So you can imagine what type of wealth this person had. And his people said, as the Quran Sharif mentions, إِذْ قَالَ لَهُ قَوْمُهُ لَا تَفْرَحْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُحِبُّ الْفَرِحِينَ. His people said to him, that don't become ostentatious. Don't become caught up with yourself. Don't think that you are something too good because of these outward material things that you have. It is nothing in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rather use that as a means to achieve the hereafter. Use that to achieve and to focus on the hereafter. Use it as capital that you send forward for the hereafter. It reminds me of some verses of Surah Al-Kahf, which we are exhorted to read on every Jumu'ah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us the story of the people of two brothers. وَضْرِبْ لَهُمْ مَثَلَ الرَّجُلَيْنِ جَعَلْنَا لِأَحَدِهِمَا جَنَّتَيْنِ مِنْ أَعْنَامِ وَحَفَفْنَاهُمَا بِنَخْلٍ وَجَعَلْنَا بَيْنَهُمَا زَرْعًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, give them this example of the two people. One of them, we gave him a lot of wealth. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala goes into details to describe the garden. Think of it as a huge, expensive plot, extremely valuable. And then his brother asks him that, do you recognize, do you understand that this is from the side of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And then he says that, وَلَئِن رُدِدْتُ إِلَىٰ رَبِّي لَأَجِدَنَّ خَيْرًا مِّنْهَا مُنْقَلَبًا. That all of this is because of me. It is all my effort. It is my achievement. It is what I have done. And he began looking down upon his fellow brother. So his brother tells him, قَالَ لَهُ صَاحِبُهُ وَهُوَ يُحَاوِرُ أَكَفَرْتَ بِالَّذِي خَلَقَكَ مِنْ تُرَابٍ ثُمَّ مِنْ نُطْفَةٍ ثُمَّ سَوَّاكَ رَجُلًا. Are you failing to recognize the one who created you from dust? What were you? ثُمَّ مِنْ نُطْفَةٍ. Then you were a drop of sperm. ثُمَّ سَوَّاكَ رَجُلًا. Then he gave you and fashioned you into your existence that you are at the moment. لَكِنَّهُ وَاللَّهُ رَبِّي وَلَا أُشْرِكُ بِرَبِّي أَحَدًا وَلَوْلَا إِذْ دَخَلْتَ جَنَّتَكَ قُلْتَ مَا شَاءَ اللَّهُ. When you saw the blessing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given you, why did you not attribute it to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? مَا شَاءَ اللَّهُ. This is the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. إِن تَرَنِ أَنَا أَقَلَّ مِنْكَ مَالًا وَوَلَدًا فَعَسَىٰ أَن يُؤْتِيَنِ رَبِّي خَيْرًا مِنْ جَنَّتِكَ. If you think that you have more than me in this world, all of this discussion is in the Quran Sharif. All of it is in the Quran Kareem. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells, that this brother tells his fellow brother, he tells him, that if you think that you have more, فَعَسَىٰ رَبِّي أَن يُؤْتِيَنِ خَيْرًا مِنْ جَنَّتِكَ. It's very possible in a matter of moments that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can turn the position around. We need to relate it to each and every one of us. When we are sitting in our businesses, when we are dealing with the people that we have authority, influence, outward supremacy over, how do we carry out ourselves? Do we adopt an attitude of disdain, disregard, looking down upon others? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, he gave us the definition of pride. So when we talk about humility, then we also need to understand the pride. What is the meaning of pride? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the reason I'm mentioning this is because we try and focus on those things which we need to give the most attention to. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Al-kibru batrul haqq. What is pride? Pride is failure to recognize what the truth is. Failure when you see the truth, and you know it's the truth, but because of your ego, because of your status in society, because of feeling bad about what it will look like if I have to accept the truth in front of others, or to adopt humility, then what do you do is you reject it. Batrul haqq. And the second element that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions is ghamtun nas, looking down upon other people. Looking down upon other people, for whatever reason, because you are more educated, or because you may have a little bit more coins, or a little bit higher bank balance. So look at what happened in Surah Al-Kahf. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that overnight, in a matter of moments, it doesn't take long for conditions to change, my respected elders and brothers. It doesn't take long for conditions to change. Let us recognize that we need to live as humble servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If Allah has blessed us, let us attribute those blessings to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But overnight the conditions changed of this person. And then the Quran Sharif gives a very beautiful, amazing, picture of what happens.
فأصبح يقلب كفيه على ما أنفق فيها وهي خاوية على عروشها ويقول يا ليتني لم أشرك بربي أحدا.
What happens to him? He says in the morning, everything is lost, everything is gone. Overnight he's nothing. As we say, you know, overnight he's worth nothing. So what does he do? He then begins to turn his palms. A sign of great regret, a sign of great remorse. He's left with nothing. And he almost exclaims. He exclaims that, oh, how I wish, ya laytani, oh, how I wish I did not, look at the words, how I wish I did not associate partners with Allah. Lam ushrik bi rabbi ahada. The ulama write that where was the shirk over here? The shirk was that he began to think that he was the provider, he was the sustainer. Everything was attributable to him. So nevertheless, this is an extremely important aspect of our deen. When we talk about mu'amalat, that to come across in a manner that is humble, in a manner that is, one is, you know, in one hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, again we are focusing on that aspect of our mu'amalat, and we are highlighting what appears in the Quran Sharif and the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with regards to, you could call, not the legalities, not the laws and principles. We are talking about the behavior of how we should be behaving when we carry out our economic activity. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in this hadith that رَحِمَ اللَّهُ رَجُلًا سَمْحًا إِذَا بَاعَ وَإِذَا اشْتَرَى وَإِذَا اقْتَضَى. Look at the words of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that may Allah have mercy. May Allah have mercy. Is it upon the one who is going to perform tahajjud salah or give large amounts in sadaqah? All of these things are important. But in this particular place, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, سَمْحًا إِذَا بَاعَ. He has a large heart at the time of buying and selling. Samhan, I think you are one would be lost for words to describe what is the meaning of samhan. He is large hearted. He is extremely generous. He's not a difficult person to deal with. Samhan, idha ba'a, at the time of selling, at the time, idha shtara, at the time of buying, wa idha qtaba, and at the time of receiving payment. These are all akhlaq, these are all attributes and behaviors that have been taught to us by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In another hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Inna min khiyarikum ahasinakum qada'a. From amongst the best of you, this is our Nabi speaking to us. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is telling us that Inna min khiyarikum ahasinakum qada'a. From amongst the best of you are those who are the best when it comes to payment. From amongst the best of you are those who are the best when it comes to making payment to others. I don't have to go into the details. Each and every one of us know what types of things are going on when it comes to making payments to people. And here Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam led by example. At the time of paying, he would tell the Sahabi that zin wa arjih. When paying someone, zin wa arjih, give more. Have we ever made amal on that sunnah? After namaz we'll go, and when we're having our food we'll say, is it sunnah to have the sweet before or after? We forget that hardly a day in the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam he ate till he's full. But this sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was a common feature in his life, that at the time of paying, give a little extra. Have we made amal on this sunnah? That at the time if someone did a transaction for you for 200 rand, but you pay him a little bit extra, never mind, take 250. See then what is the impact of making amal of this sunnah on the community and the people around you. See the impact of making amal on these sunnahs of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this is another aspect, the aspect with regards to payment, with regards to negotiation in our transactions, to be extremely difficult and hard. This is also not the quality of a believer. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in one hadith, he told the Sahaba that ad-deenun nasiha. Deen means, and following deen means to will wish well for others. So Sahaba asked for more detail. So they said, liman, for who? What do you mean?
Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Lillahi wa li rasulihi wa li a'immati al-muslimina wa 'ammatihim." It goes to the extent of even an ordinary person on the street wishing well for him. A person walks into your shop, give him the best possible service and the best possible way that you deal with him. The best possible way. Time, we have run out of time, but I will end on one story that I recall from an elder in our family. Told us that years in the early 1900s, when some of the family had come through from India, in the early, we're talking about 1910, and they were in one of the African countries in Central Africa, and a very simple person walked into the shop. The young children of the family were handling the shop at that particular time, and they sold that person something at slightly higher than the normal price. And they were extremely satisfied that, you know, wonderful, perfectly permissible to make a profit and to sell at a price that the party is agreeable to pay on. This is acceptable. But he sells at a higher price. And when the grandfather comes a little while later to the store, I'm talking about our forefathers, how they dealt with people on this continent here in Africa. When the old father or grandfather comes to the shop, they give the report and the feedback that we made an excellent profit today. There was a very simpleton who walked into the shop and we managed to sell him this, and we made significantly higher than normal profit. So the father said, "Oh, okay, that's what you all did today." He said, "Do me a favor, close the shop. Close the shop, go and look for that person in the market, where he is, and the extra that you took from him, go and give it back to him." This is what is meant by an-nasiha li a'immatil muslimina wa 'ammatihim, wishing well for the people. It's not only about making a few extra rands and cents. So nevertheless, there is much more that one can speak about on this topic. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to implement these teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam with regards to our muamalat, and holistically to enter into this beautiful deen that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.
Syntax CD Productions, bringing the sounds of Islam to you.